The reading is taken from Matthew chapter 12, verses 9 to 21, and it is on page 977 in the Church Bibles. God's chosen servant. Going on from that place, he went into their synagogue, and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Looking for a reason to bring charges against Jesus, they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" He said to them, "If any of you has a sheep and it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will you not take hold of it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Therefore, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he stretched it out, and it was completely restored, just as sound as the other. But the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. A large crowd followed him, and he healed all who were ill. He warned them not to tell others about him. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. "Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out till he has brought justice through to victory. In his name the nations will put their hope." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Janet, for reading that so clearly to us. Who is this God's chosen servant? Is the big question. But I think we have a good idea about who this servant is. He is a servant who makes a choice of healing someone on a Sabbath day when no work should be done. He is a servant who prioritizes a man over legalism. And we can see even when he withdrew because of the threat of the Pharisees, we are told that a crowd followed him. And what did he do again there with them? He healed all who were ill. He healed all who were ill. So he was busy dispensing compassion and relieving people of their burdens and of their concerns. Let us pray. Father, as we look at your word today, we ask God that you will help us to hear you, to hear what you're saying to us at this material time, in our lives at this time, and in the life of our church, and in the life of our community. Help us to make that connection, and help us, Father, to receive the ministry of your compassion today for our lives and for the lives of our families. For in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So I'm going to concentrate on the prophecy of Isaiah, which is taken, you know, which is quoted here by Matthew, and it's from Isaiah chapter 42, verse 1 to 4. It helps us to see and define who this servant, this chosen servant is. It helps us to see that he did not just come out of the blue, but he came as fulfillment of prophecies. And of course, Jesus said, I come in the volume of the book that have been written about me. So it's not just in one place. It's just not by Isaiah, but other portions of scripture had pointed to this servant. But we're going to concentrate on this today so that we can make that connection between who this servant is, what he did to fulfill that which was spoken about him. So here we see that the first thing this servant did, he brings justice. The servant brings justice, because that was what he was sent to do. In verse 18, he says he will proclaim justice to the nations. And also in verse 20, he brings justice to victory. And I say one day, Jesus is going to make all things right once again. That's what Isaiah chapter 42 had promised. In his healing miracle, Jesus fulfills these words. But the emphasis of the words in this passage is justice. What does justice have to do with that? I think it's good we clarify, because when we talk about justice, we're thinking about the judiciary. We're thinking about the legal system that we are used to. But what is it all about? And I say it's about a lot. We often talk about two kinds of evil that we encounter here in this fallen world. Moral evil, where we see bad people doing bad stuff, and the kinds of sins people commit and the suffering that results from that. But also, there's natural evil, stuff that happens that wasn't meant to be, things like tornadoes and tsunamis and forest fires and floods, but also fatal car accidents and viruses and heart attacks and cancers and all kinds of diseases. We know from scripture that Jesus is going to fix it all one day. Justice denotes the setting right of whatever is not as it should be, meaning the establishment of the will of God. Yes, we experience some of that justice here and now, but one day he will make all that pain go away. The Bible says he will wipe away all tears fully and forever. That is our hope. Healings here and now, healings to come. The one Isaiah prophesied about many years ago is the servant who has come to bring justice. In verse 9, Jesus heals a man with a shriveled hand on a Sabbath. And in verse 15, a large crowd followed him, and he healed them all. who were ill. Second, he brings justice with gentleness. Hear these words again in verse 19 and 20. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he has brought justice true to victory. See how he spreads his kingdom. True gentleness, not aggression. No screaming and fighting. He walks quietly in small, subtle ways, gently. That is what verse 19 shows us. But also see how he serves its citizens. These two metaphors, the bruised reed and the smoldering wick, they remind us how gently he deals with us. Jesus came to bring salvation to his own, yet his own rejected him. John chapter 10, chapter 11, verse 1. Sorry, John chapter 1, verse 11. They stripped him, robed him in scarlet, stuck a crown of thorns on his head, and knelt before him in mockery. They spat on him. They beat him with a reed. But hear this. Jesus doesn't come over to the plant that is bent and toppling over and push it until it snaps. No, he supports it. He lifts us and helps us to heal. Are you hurt? Have you suffered abuse? Or do you feel abandoned? He handles us with care. He's extra gentle. That's what he does. He doesn't walk over to a candle or lamp that's just about to go out and give it a big puff or quench it with his fingers. No, he keeps it aflame. He helps us to shine. He won't let darkness overtake those who are his. If our faith is weak, if we are barely hanging on, he's drawn to us. He won't push us down. Rather, he will lift us up. Jesus comes this way to those who were oppressed by the Roman occupation in Israel, and who were weighed down by those Pharisees who imposed so much legalism on them that no one could fulfill. And you see in verse 9, the Pharisees opposed Jesus because he performed a miracle on the Sabbath. I have a question for you. What have you been thinking about or dwelling on? Given our reality in Emmanuel Church, and in light of what we have experienced in the last few months, what is running through our hearts and souls? Are we feeling disappointed? Are we feeling abandoned? Angry? Hopeless? Do we feel a sense of loss of friendship, of companions? God says to you, here is my servant whom I have chosen. I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice. Remember our definition of justice? Concerning Christ, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, Because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. Jesus is anointed to restore us to what God has created us to be. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is our healer. He is our comforter. Our hope now and in the future. He does not judge us, but has justified us through his death and resurrection. Yes, we may feel bruised, and it is right to feel so. We may feel vulnerable, but he will not break us. Hallelujah. Turn your eyes to Jesus and let him wipe away your tears. Let him into your hearts afresh to heal your emotions and your body, and be filled with the Holy Spirit over and over again. In this week, leading to the 90th birthday celebration of our dear church, let us all recommit ourselves to God and believe him for a new season of renewal. For we know that whoever believes in me, Jesus said, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. John 7:38. Jesus preaches words of hope and dispenses doses of justice. In a surprising way, he comes to us now too. Behold, the servant who is gentle. Unlike the Pharisees, Jesus would accept those on the margins. The servant is compassionate and merciful. He's a friend of the weak and the suffering. He stands in solidarity with the people on the margins, the people who have been abandoned. He's here with us to heal our pain and restore to us the joy of our salvation. In Psalm 147 verse 3, we are told he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. So we have no excuse, because behold, the servant, the chosen servant, he is here for us. He is for us. He is not against us. His Spirit is here to give us a new beginning with fresh vision for our community, for our families, for our friends, for our country, and for our world. Third, justice for the nations. Gentleness to the nations, to the world. We have seen this in verse 18. He will proclaim justice to the nations. We also see that in verse 21, and in his name, the nations will hope. This is for the world. The Pharisees and the crowds, all they had in their mind was Israel, their tribe, and theirs alone. But Jesus had much bigger things in store. The world, the Gentiles, the nations, the other, the outcast, every tribe, tongue, and nation, the people in the margins. I imagine there are not too many here who have Israelite in their blood, and not many here who have it all together. Jesus came for us. Grace he gives. Mercy he brings. He cares about the refugees, those getting bombed, those soldiers dropping the bombs, the addict on the streets, the very rich, the homeless, and the poor, the sick and the kid in that far-flung nation who has little to eat. Jesus came for the world. How does this affect us? He has sent us as his servants. And Matthew says in verse 15 that many followed him. We receive the invitation to follow him. He is our Messiah. And this should change not only our expectations for the future, but our purpose for our lives today. It's not just about him taking away our trials and our infirmities. He welcomes us in our weakness, but he also sends us out in his strength as servants to run out and represent him, spreading the kingdom and serving those around us, seeking justice with gentleness, with deep confidence in him. Because we are believers, we are his chosen. He is the chosen of God, and in him we are his chosen. With Jesus, we have a new passion. We want to spread his good news to those all around us. If we are citizens of his kingdom, we will seek justice, just like our king. The kingdom comes less with punches as with prayer. So we have a new posture, one of gentleness, total dependence. And following his example in how he spread the kingdom in gentleness, in how we serve those around us in gentleness. We will be known for our meekness more than our might. We won't be screaming about our rights. We will be thinking about the needs of others. We will be gentle like Jesus, talking about how we deal gently with one another, showing up in places where hurting people are is a sign we are growing in grace. Will this be said of us? Are we willing to care about the other, the weak, the marginalized, the least, the last, and the lost? Surely we will want justice for them, and we will minister to them with care. They are part of a bigger family we care about and want to add to the kingdom from the nations, from the margins. I'll ask you this: what have you been thinking about or dwelling on? What is running through your heart and soul? What do you want to change? Let me invite you to bring your concerns to God in prayer now. We spend some few moments just to pray, and just pray, in response to those questions, and then our leaders in prayer as part of our response to this. Let us pray together. We come to you, Ancient of Days, the God of all heaven and earth. We worship you, O King of all ages, who does all things after the counsel of his will. We look to you to wash us in the blood of Jesus Christ, your Son, and to clothe us fully in his righteousness. Thank you for all your love and mercy. We acknowledge that we are most undeserving of your love, and we're deeply grateful for your kindness in accepting us in your beloved, the one you have chosen. We also turn our eyes to you, their Father, and ask that you will touch each one of us, heal our emotions and our bodies, visit us now by your Spirit. Help us to forgive those who have hurt us. Restore to us the joy of salvation. And for those who do not know you yet, please reveal yourself to them. Convict them of their unworthiness and grant them access to your loving grace. In our reading today, we read how Jesus Christ brings justice to the people. He has chosen us, and we understand that we have been commissioned to bring justice to your world. Grant us fresh anointing of your Spirit to embolden us to carry out Christ's mission in Talwart, in Berylands, Sobety, and to the end of the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.